Thank you, Brother Ken. Man, what a wonderful message in that song. If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Corinthians 1. We'll continue to thinking about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. If you remember last week, we were talking about how God is faithful. And we looked at God's big resounding yes is seen in Jesus, and we say amen to that. Truly let it be. We look to Jesus. We believe in Jesus. This morning we're going to talk about established by God in Christ through the Spirit. And so, but that's the word we're going to look at, established. Stand with me if you would. 2 Corinthians 1, we're just going to read three verses. Starting in verse 20 through 22, 2 Corinthians 1. For all the promises of God find their yes in Him. That is why it is through Him that we utter our amen to God for His glory. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has also put His seal on us and given us His Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Father, we pray that you would teach us this morning. Strengthen us, God. May we see our identity found in Christ. Lord, may we see that you are faithful. And Lord, the gift of your Spirit guiding us, establishing us. And God, we pray that we would live for you and honor you, God. Bless our time. May we see more clearly and be changed as a result of your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're looking at the text this morning, and I think about what it means to be established. You know, this is actually a work of sanctification. That's a big churchy word, but it means growing in Christ. It means it's a process. It's God is continually at work in us, with you establishing us, confirming us, making us steadfast. Now, if you look at this, this is kind of an ongoing work. God is establishing us with you. It's interesting looking at the text here is because Paul and Silas and Timothy are lumping themselves in with the Corinthian believers and say God is establishing us and He's establishing you. This is an ongoing work. It's a work of sanctification. I was thinking about anybody in their jobs and in skills and in activities Mike, I was thinking about you and your first house you sold. Probably how difficult it was just to going through all the paperwork. And now Mike is very skilled at his job, and I'm sure selling the house is just like waking up and putting his shoes on in the morning. It's something that he's become very good at. It was a process. Of course, this time of year, I think about how to explain sanctification with you. I think about my little boy, and I've begun to take him hunting and teach him about guns and how hunter safety and being careful and being cautious. And it started out with me sitting in the deer stand with him. And then now it's branched out to where we have a stand. I can go and I let him walk up the deer stand and I walk up behind him and I hand him his gun and then I come back down he's got his little shooting rest and I say, look, this is where the deer, you shoot this way. Remember to click the safety. And he only got one bullet in the gun. So, you know, and then I'll climb down my stand and I'll get up right beside him and I'll climb up a tree to kind of watch him. And the other day it was kind of neat. We got to the stand, and there's a rope hanging from the stand, and I said, do you want to try to pull your gun up? He said, yeah, Daddy, that'd be neat. You know, every day it's an adventure with him because he's learning. And so I looped his gun, and I tied his gun for him, and I said, okay, go on up the tree. And then he got up there, and he pulled his gun up. You know, it was a big process, and I'm like, he's going to drop the gun. He's going to, you know, but you have to kind of give him a little more leeway. And so he got up and he got his gun and he unclipped the rope and he dropped it down and he got set up, and I was like, great. And we got ready to come down and he clipped his gun and he lowered his gun down, and I'm just seeing him get better and better at what he's doing. My little Savannah, I've told you, you've heard the heartaches and the pain of coaching girls basketball, but she's getting so much more aggressive in getting the ball and I even cheer for her every time she fouls. I'm like, good job. You knocked that girl down, you know? Because I've got girls that are so timid, the ball will roll on the ground and they'll, you know, they don't know to go get it. And so, but I'm seeing her get so aggressive. And I was telling somebody at the beginning of the year, I was kind of worried that I wouldn't be able to start Savannah because I wasn't so sure that she was deserving to be in the starting five. And this concern about coach and starting their own kids. And I can tell you at the end of the season, I'm glad to put my little girl on the floor first in the top five. Because we've only got one or two that can score, so even though Savannah don't score much, that's okay. She's one of our most physical. She's one of our best defenders. She has grown. She's evolved. And I'm thinking about this process of becoming like Jesus. What are things that help us become established? Well, we're going to see the role of the Spirit in this anointing, in this sealing, and also in this being given the Spirit as a guarantee, a guarantor. That's why we're becoming established, because we've been given these things that have actually, these are past tense. So this word establishing is actually, God is establishing the Corinthian believers along with the Paul and Silas and these leaders. But the reason he's establishing them is because there's these works of the Spirit that have taken place in their life. All right, let's look at the text there. Now, we remember that God is faithful. Remember that God is has all of the works of God are complete in Jesus. If you look at verse 20, for the promises of God find their yes in Him. We spent a whole lot of time last week talking about that the fulfillment of the Old Testament, that God's promises have found their resounding yes in what Jesus has done. He's fulfilled these promises. We can look at Jesus and we see God's love. We see His forgiveness. We even see, we're going to see His justice. We're going to see His mercies. You see, all of God's promises being fulfilled in this greatest gift ever given, in the gift of His Son. And so we have see this, and it says this. Look at what it says in verse 20. He goes on to say, so the promises of God find their yes in Him. That is why it is through Him that we utter our amen. Truly let it be. We can affirm God's promises to God for His glory. So it's almost like God has displayed His love and grace and forgiveness in Jesus. We look at that and we say, glory to God. We affirm, truly let it be. Amen. You are faithful, God. Jesus is shown your faithfulness, your goodness, your blessings to your people. And so Paul now says in verse 21, he says, and it is God who establishes us with you. That's why I talked about the people of God should be confident people. That's why I said that when we should be worried, like Paul could be worried about these false teachers and throwing his arms up going, what am I going to do? They're falling apart in Corinth. My 18 months of work and labor in the synagogue and preaching and teaching in these house churches, it's all in vain, because the people are going to fall. They're apostatizing. They're going back. They're leaving the faith. They're falling victim to Satan and his schemes. And I what am I going to do? You don't hear this tone with Paul. You hear Paul in this confidence that God is establishing you. He's establishing us with you. We need your messy lives. You need our struggles and our trials and our sufferings and our testings and our experiences. We need one another. I was thinking about God's practice of sanctifying the church. We so need one another. We need to see one another's hurts. We need to see God comforting one another. You know, in the beginning of 1 Corinthians 1, actually 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you actually see this. Paul says, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. See, this grace was given. It says that in every way you were enriched in Him in all speech and all knowledge. Now, verse 6 of chapter 1, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you. That's the same Greek word as established that we're looking at. Standing firm, confirmed, established. They're all the same Greek word. And it says, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift. It says that you've been confirmed. It says that your testimony was confirmed among you. And your testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end. That's the same word. Established, confirmed, your testimony confirmed among you, and that you who he will sustain you to the end. Give, that same word, established, standing firm, confirmed, sustaining, It's the work of God in His people's lives that makes sure that they will finish the race. They will persevere. 1 John 2, they went out among us because they were never part of us. They were playing games. They were checking boxes. They were trying to look the part. They were trying to get rich or clout or
success from being a part of God's people some kind of way.
They were phonies. They were sheep in wolves' clothing. But they went out because they were never confirmed, established, sustained, standing firm because of the work of the Spirit in their life. They were never established or being established. So it says, sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then it says, verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Remember, in a lot of these salutations, in Ephesians, you know, we'll go back and look at that in a minute, in 2 Corinthians and 1 Corinthians, you know, it talks about you've been given grace, you've been sealed by God's Spirit, you've experienced blessings. God is faithful who called you out of darkness into His light. There's this identity that we have in Christ because of God's work in our heart through the Spirit. And it will finish. It will be completed. And I'll show you why. So even this is an ongoing establishing, even this is an ongoing work of the Spirit. Notice all the ongoing activity of God in the establishing work. It says this is a present action founded on past completed actions. All right, so we see that establishes is present, but it's founded on past actions. It says this, and I'll just give you the breakdown of where we're going. Three words we're going to look at, or three little phrases. He has anointed. That's past tense. You'll see that there in verse 20. We'll finish the back part of 21. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us. And the second thing it says, and who has also put His seal on us. That's past. My little Savannah right now and Will, they're talking about past, present, and future tenses of verbs in English right now. And some of you may not have been great English students, but you kind of understand there's a past action, there's a present, something that's presently happening, and then there's something that will happen, past, present, and future. You are being established. It's a present action, but it's based on three past actions that have taken place in the believer's life. They have been anointed. I'll talk about what that means in a second. They have been given the Spirit. They were sealed by God's Spirit. We'll talk about that. And then lastly there, it says on us, and it's been given us His Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So they has been given. Those are future actions. So you can rest assured that there will be sanctification. There will be an establishing based on the finished work of God in this work of the Spirit as He is anointing, as He is sealing, and as He is giving His Spirit as a guarantee of future, of first fruit, so to speak, of a blessing that we're going to receive in all of its fullness when we get to heaven one day in the day of the Lord. So God is continually at work in us together with you, confirming us, making us steadfast. Some of your scriptures may say helping you stand firm. He's anointed, He's sealed, He's given us His Spirit. And these are all past tense. This is a process, and we often refer to, as I told you, sanctification, establishing. We're becoming stronger. We're going in Christ, growing in Christ. We need another part of the things that I got sidetracked a while ago. We need God's Word in this establishing, in this standing firm, in this sustaining effort. We need one another. We need experience. As Paul starts off talking about, Paul talks about this severe test he went through. He felt like he was at the point of death. But it was so God could comfort him so that he could in turn comfort others. There's this trials that we need in the sanctification process. There's God's comfort that we need in becoming and understanding God's faithfulness to His people. So in this establishing work, there are things that help us grow. There are things that help us become great hunters. There are things that help us become great realtors. There are things that help us in our growth as becoming great accountants or doctors. But in looking at the life of the believer, it's the church, it's God's Word, it's experiences, it's heartaches, it's
pain that will help us become stronger, faithful followers of Christ. I know we can all understand that. So in that, we look at this, and let's look at this first way of God establishing us, and it's this anointing that takes place. It says God, at the back part of chapter verse 20 there, it says God anoints us. God has anointed us. In the Old Testament, these prophets, priests, and kings, they were anointed with oil. You remember when Samuel went to David's house, to Jesse's house, and he said, I'm come to, God's told me that one of your sons are going to be anointed. And they looked at it as the next king. And they went through all of these strong, brave sons and these handsome sons. And they went through the whole gamut of these sons of Jesse. And Samuel scratches his head and says, we're not going to anoint any of these. Do you have another son? And he said, well, yeah, we've got little David. He's out there with the sheep where he spends most of his time. Samuel says, go get him, bring him in. He's fixed to be anointed as God's next king of Israel. This anointing would be a cup of oil that would be placed over. It was symbolic of God's presence setting apart, symbolic of God's spirit resting upon his person that was going to empower them for the work ahead that God has called them to. And it's anointing. It was a Holy Spirit. You know, Luke 4:18 says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus talking. Be red letters in your Bible. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. It's this anointing that God is Jesus. Remember when he at Pentecost, when he ascends to the Father, the Spirit of God comes on him like a dove. There's this God's resting his power upon Jesus, anointing him to proclaim liberty to the captives. You know, this word here, actually the word Christ means the anointed one. And so when we look at this anointing, there's a play on words here in the English. In Greek, it means, I'm gonna try to give you the Greek here, eis Christon kai. Chrysos. It actually means, the title Christ means anointing one, but if you were to translate this literally from the Greek, it's God established us with you in the anointed one and has anointed us. So God establishes us with you in the anointed one and has anointed us. Or another transliteration, God establishes us with you in Christ and has christened us. This anointing is a big deal. But now it's not just these special religious leaders. It's not just Paul and Silas and Timothy. Paul says he's anointed us with you. They have also been empowered. They have also been set apart for service. There's this identity of God being faithful in Christ to establish them through the Spirit, by anointing them, by giving them his Spirit, by empowering them for his service. Do you see it? I read to you last week in 1 John 2, verse 20. I'll read this to you. And looking at this anointing, has anointed us. 1 John 2, verse 20, it says this. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you have all knowledge, and you all have knowledge. It says, but you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. Now go down to verse 27. Well, you don't have to turn there. I'm reading to you. It says, verse 27 of 1 John 2, but the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true, and in this is no lie, just as he has taught you, abide in him. So there's this work of the Spirit that he has anointed you. And it's closely related to this anointing that Jesus experienced for service, to proclaim the good news of Jesus, to live a Spirit-filled, mission-minded life. This 2 Corinthians 5:17, as new creations, ambassadors, having the treasure in jars of clay,
Ministers of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians. There's some neat imagery all throughout 2 Corinthians that Paul is telling them of their identity in Christ. And it starts at the work of God being faithful to establish them through the Spirit. And one of the ways he's doing this is he has anointed them. Secondly, it says this. He has sealed you with his Spirit. Go back to the text, verse 21. So it's God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us. But look at verse 22 now. And who has also put his seal on us. He's put his seal on us. This sealing, it was an important way of people when they would transport mail, or they would seal a document. They would take something like a hot wax, and they would roll up their important document, and they would put it on the line there and seal it. Then they would take a signet ring that would have like a graven image or some type of identity of a king or an important person, and they would press it in this hard wax to seal that. It had to do with authority and ownership, but it also protected the document. Right? So there's this role of the Spirit in sealing us that has to do with the ownership, with identity, with authority of God on our lives. But it's also a symbol of protection. If you think about Revelation 5, there's 24 elders sitting around the throne of God. You got a picture of heaven. And then there's these 24 creatures, and they're singing amen and glory to God. And there's this beautiful imagery of God's power and his glory. And all of a sudden there's this silence and hush that comes over all of this loud praise music, and it becomes quiet. And the tone changes, and they look out, and they see this document, and it's got seven seals on it, and there's nobody worthy to break the seal. This Lion of Judah that's worthy to break the seal, and the tone begins to change, and then they look out and they don't see a lion, they see a lamb. And this is the lamb that has shed his blood and who is now worthy to break the seals on this document with these seven seals. This lamb's book of life, this important document in heaven before God that's going to pronounce judgment on these enemies of God, which is important to God's people because many are standing around the throne because they've been killed. They've been treated harshly, and they're praising God and worshiping him. And the elders, every time these creatures would sing, the elders would bow down. But this document would seal these seven seals, and Jesus was worthy. This lion and this lamb would break the seals of this document. The Spirit of God was given to us as a seal, and it was important because it was... and going back to the text, I want to read Ephesians 1, 12 through 14. It says, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory, in him you also, when you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believe in him, it says, we're sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So when you said your big amen to God's work of Jesus, which many of the Corinthians had done, there were collective yes, amen, truly let it be, for God's glory, Jesus has come and fulfilled all of God's promises. When you say that amen, you agree with God that Jesus is Lord, you believe on him, and it says that you were sealed by the promised Holy Spirit when you believed. And it says, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So we'll come back to that verse 14 in a minute of Ephesians 1, because it talks about that guarantee, the first fruits, the earnest money, the pledge God given to us in our heart was the seal of the Spirit of God. So will we be established? Are we being established? Is there a difference in our heart and life as people of God? Yes. Are we being sanctified? Are we becoming more like Christ? Are we hating our sin? Are we washing and cleansing ourselves in God's forgiveness and his grace? Are we resting in him and loving him and celebrating him? Are we becoming more confident, bold, and strong? We are, because of an identity.
Because of we're being established. Because we've been anointed by God's Holy Spirit. Empowered by Him. We've been sealed by His Spirit. We are being protected by Him. We have His authority on our lives. We have His ownership in our lives. We're being protected by Him. And we've been sealed by His Holy Spirit. In this verse, we see His seal and guarantee of our inheritance. When we hear the good news and believed in Jesus, we were sealed in the promised Holy Spirit. We were marked as belonging to God. We hear and believe, we trust, we rely on God, we depend on Jesus. Ephesians 4:30 says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." There's also this sealing, this giving this Spirit, because there's an important day that we're being protected for. This guarantee, this protection. This great day of the Lord, we're going to rule and reign with Christ. Do you see why it's hard to understand why we see that people leave the church or leave the faith or apostatize and they fall out and they go and they wreck and Paul talks about these that have made shipwreck of the faith. And they go out and they live a life of habitual sin. First John would and Paul would say that's just confusing. Because we should be being established. Sustained, standing firm in good order, because we've been given a deposit, we've been sealed, we've been anointed. It's a work of God. Yes, we're struggling with sin. Yes, we'll continue to battle the flesh until Jesus comes back. But there should be a growth. There should be a trust that's getting deeper, stronger. There should be a fear that's getting less evasive in our life. There should be a confidence that should be bubbling in and through us as we experience for the sake of growing. My friend Joey Loper, I talked to last night, that this time last week I put him on the prayer list because he felt like he was at death's door. We were praying for him and his mother, and it was a terrible situation because his mother and he both had COVID, and they were both taking turns for the worse. And Joey's strength was just waning to where he couldn't do anything, and he didn't want to eat, and he just thought they said they wouldn't put him in the hospital, and he just thought, "I'm going to sit here and die." And his mother seemed to be getting better, and just the time when he finally gets in the hospital and he starts getting better, his mother takes a turn for the worse, and it looks like they're talking about just measures to help keep her comfortable, and it looks like that they've got to talk about feeding tubes and respirators, and she's showing no signs of life. And as he's getting a little stronger, his mother's getting worse, and it's such a sad situation. We were all praying, many people, by God's grace, she starts showing signs of life and can answer little signs and commands of wiggling her toes. And they found out she had a deflated lung, and they've been able to inflate her lung and be able to get a little bit of nutrients in her. And she's showing life, and she's getting stronger and better. And Joey's taking a turn through drips and steroids, and now he's becoming better. And he looks back and he told me, he said, "You know, Stephen, he's a judge at a seven-county district, a circuit court judge there in Mississippi, a good friend and prayer partner of mine and supporter in the ministry. You've heard me talk about Joey Loper." Well, he talked about it. He said, "You know, this beginning of the year, Grenada is my hardest court term." And he said, "I always kind of really hate to go to Grenada. Just, you know, there's certain places and parts of everybody's job you just don't want to do. You have to deal with a lot of stuff you don't want to deal with. You know, a lot of just, he sees a lot of things and just didn't like going to Grenada." But he said, "You know, Stephen," he said, "after I have COVID," he said, "I'll always be grateful to get to go to Grenada." He said, "I'll love to go to Grenada in this court term." He said, I don't despise it anymore." And I thought, man, I talked to this man a week ago, and this weight of the world was on his shoulders, and it almost looked like he was ready to die. He felt so bad. He was like, "I don't know what's going to happen," but he said, "This is terrible." He said, "I'm weak as I've ever been. I feel as worse as I've ever felt." And he said, "I feel like I'm going to die, but please keep me in your prayers." And now there's just this life in his, this newfound just joy. And it came as a result of him going through this hardship. He's being established. God is establishing him. He's strengthening him. That's when Paul says, "When I went through this, people think he was wrestling with beasts in Ephesus. We don't know what he went through, but he said, I had the sentence of death on me. He said, I just thought we were all going to die. God brought him through it. Paul and Silas and Timothy and all of them. And there's this joy, this confidence. And he says, I don't walk by the flesh. I walk by the Spirit. God is faithful. I look to God. I don't say yes and no. And I'm not waver. I'm not fickle in my response to you. He says, I trust the Lord. I depend on Him who is faithful. He's shown us His faithfulness in Jesus. And God is establishing us with you. He's fixed to say in verse chapter 2, verse 1, He says, I made up my mind not to make another painful visit to you to cause you pain. He says, because I want to show you mercy. I want you to experience joy. And if I come to you and rebuke you again, He says, who can bring me joy but the ones it's supposed to be? You're going to not be able to bring me joy. It's like me seeing my little boy and my little girl when I tell them to do something and I see them not wanting to do, I see them not doing it, and I give them a time frame. I'm like, man, I don't want to have to, discipline them or spank them. I don't want to have to be harsh with them. So I'm just going to be patient. I've got to be firm, and I give them to a certain point. Maybe I could just give them a little reminder. Savannah, did you feed your bunny today? Because I told you, if that bunny's not fed by tonight, then you're going to be without this, or you're going to be without that, or you're going to get a spanking, and whatever the sentence may be. And so maybe there's this grace and this mercy that I can show her, trying to help her see this is what you need to do. Paul could have been firm with him. He could have gone back to them and rebuked them again. But he says, I want to be merciful, because you know what? God has been merciful to me. God is being merciful to so many right now because He's not come back yet. He's slow to anger. He's patient. He's long-suffering. He's coming back to rule and reign and judge one day. But right now we see His grace and His compassion and His tenderness and His mercy. Paul says, I love you. I want to show you mercy. God is establishing you. And He's doing it, but He's giving you His Spirit. He's anointed you. He's sealed you. And lastly, He's given His Spirit to you as a guarantee. Sorry, Mike, you're kind of my sermon illustrations. I thought about you. When Mike goes to sell a house, he needs some earnest money. He needs to know somebody's being serious about it. They're not jerking him around. They're not jerking the early realtors around. They're not jerking the sellers around, or the buyers aren't being jerked around. He's got to know they're serious. Hey, I need 10%. Sign the papers. That's what this guarantee, this earnest money is. This as a guarantor, that's what the Greek word means. It's not something that's going to be given back. It's actually part of the payment in full. We've been given the first fruits of the Spirit. We've been sealed. We've been anointed. We've been given this great blessing in that God has put His Spirit in us. We are experiencing blessings. Romans 8:23 says this. And I talked about last week about all things working together for the good of those who love God, are called according to His purpose, and those that have been called have been predestined, they've been conformed to the image of Christ, and they're going to be glorified in Christ. There's this finishing work of God that began at His calling us, knowing us, even when we're in our mother's womb, up until we're at heaven like everybody else, praising God in fully glorified bodies one day. There's this work of God that's through the Spirit and complete work of salvation. But in Romans 8:23, you see this. It says this, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. So there's this, and I call it, and actually going back to the text here, there's this getting old that is sometimes hard, right? It's just hard. Miss Janet got her eyes got big and she said, yeah. Miss Fran had knee replacement surgery this week. Growing old is not easy. And sometimes this inward man, we just begin to deteriorate. We look in our mirror and we're like, man, there's more wrinkles, there's more gray hair, my bones ache. But even up on our aging process and this physical man dying, there's this hope we have that's been deposited in our heart by the Holy Spirit to where one day there's going to be a glorious blessing and redemption of our bodies and this newness and this glorification and this celebration and no more tears and no more pain and no more hurt. And it's something believers look forward to. But we've already been given this guarantee, this deposit that's in our hearts. 2 Corinthians 5 is actually something we see that helps us illustrate this. The 2 Corinthians 5, verse 5, if you want to look at it, says, our body, while we're still in the tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. I've used this in a lot of sermons. He who has prepared us for this glory, for this very thing, is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Yes, I'm hurting. Yes, my hair is turning gray. Yes, I ache. Some of y'all say, you don't even know what it means to ache and go through tough times, and I agree with you, I don't. Amen. Some of you do know what it means. But even in your brokenness and your body wearing out, there's this inward joy from this deposit, this earnest money that's been given to us. Praise the Lord. We are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, but we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, and we would and he goes on to say, it's hard for me to read some of these texts and not start preaching another sermon, but for the sake of time, I'm fixed to wrap it up until I get to these sermons. But it all hinges on the fact that God is faithful. Jesus was God's big yes, amen, fulfillment of all of his promises to his people. God is establishing us in Jesus through the Spirit. He's doing that by anointing us. He's doing that, which means setting us apart for his service, preparing us, and also giving us this anointing to enable us and empower us for the things and the mission work he's called us to do. Up on this anointing is also this sealing, this ownership, this identity. Sealed by the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. We are protected and preserved by him. We bear his mark of authenticity, this sealing of the Spirit. And then lastly, I told you that this giving of the deposit of his Spirit was so important. You know, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, I told you we're going to come back to verse 14. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. The Holy Spirit is the seal of our inheritance. It's marking authenticity, ownership, protecting, preserving us for it. It's the earnest money, the down payment of our inheritance. First installment of what we will receive. The Holy Spirit in our hearts is not temporary to be replaced later by something else. He is ours for eternity. And this is a masculine pronoun. A lot of people say it. The Holy Spirit's not an it. It's a he. It's a third part of the Trinity. Matter of fact, it's neat to look at the Trinitarian model here. God is faithful. Jesus is God's faithfulness and amen to us. The Spirit's the one who's fulfilling the work. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is establishing us. He's anointing us for service. He's sealing us. He's living inside of us as the guarantee of an eternity with him. Oh, treasure that gift of the Holy Spirit in your heart. God's doing his work. He's sustaining us. He's establishing us. He's affirming our faith. He's helping us to stand firm. This is a gift. We can't earn it. Freely receive it. Believe. Trust in him. Lean on him. Embrace him and what he's doing. He began the work, Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, he who began the work will complete it into the day of Christ Jesus. Embrace what he's doing. He guaranteed it by putting his own Spirit in our hearts. Paul writes with confidence. He writes with confidence. I ought to be able to hit the pulpit without doing that. Maybe I hit this part. Oh, got you. Man, we got great guys up there. One mic goes out and they flip a switch and we're still being recorded. Thank you, Eddie. God's word is important. We believe it here at First Baptist Fayetteville, don't we? God's working. I pray that you have trusted Jesus. Pray that you are being established in him, that you are growing. Sometimes we grow faster than other times, but God is faithful. Jesus is Lord, and the work of the Spirit is going to take place in our hearts. let's rejoice, let's be confident, and let's share that message of hope as God's messengers, as God's ambassadors to all who will listen. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you. You are good. We thank you so much for Christ, our Savior. We're thankful for the work of your Spirit in our heart and life. We're thankful that though there's so much fear and anxiety and worry around us, God, we can have peace. We can have comfort. We can be confident. We can be bold, even joyful, because we know you are alive and well, because you are alive and well in our hearts. We're thankful for your work, what you're doing, what you're continuing to do. We're thankful for your sanctification, your establishing. God, we're thankful for how you use us together, establishing us with you, that we need one another in these relationships. We're thankful for your word, that it will not return void and it accomplishes its perfect work. May we be diligent to study, to test and approve, to be a faithful servant, reading, loving, like the psalmist, your word as it takes root, makes us more joyful, helps us see your love and grace in Jesus. Through your Spirit, you continue to make us strong. Thank you, God. Help us in our journey. Lord, for those who have never trusted and believed and affirmed Jesus as Lord, that know that that's walking in this world in fear and lack of peace and joy and without the power of the Spirit, God, may today be the day of salvation. Would you help them believe that they may receive salvation in your Spirit, complete joy for all eternity. We love you and we thank you. And we pray, amen, that you would accomplish your work. We pray these things in Jesus.